Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I ran the numbers again for the cheapest ESG ETF portfolio. These are good numbers. They're not marijuana good, but they're pretty good. If you believe that it's going to save you in the apocalypse, you might want to consider something else.
Laura, you know if the topic of ESG or clean energy comes up, I'm making the call to you. So thank you for joining me this week.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, a lot to cover. Let's start with TAN, the Invesco Solar ETF, which, by the way, TAN has to be in my top 10 ETF tickers of all time, I think without question. But I checked yesterday, if we exclude all the wild stuff, leverage and inverse ETFs, TAN is currently the top performing ETF of 2020, up nearly 140%. And I'll also note this ETF started the year with around $450 million in assets. It's now over $2 billion. So what do you think's been going on here? Maybe you can also describe some of the basics around what TAN holds.
Sure. So yes, TAN has been leading the pack of ETFs, and especially green energy ETFs. You mentioned that earlier, that we've seen a fair number of clean energy ETFs outperforming this year. TAN is by a large margin, 160% over the past 12 months, it has gained. It's just a frankly bonkers amount. So, and investors are cottoning onto that performance, right? TAN has seen some fairly strong inflows over the past year, an influx of $651 million. And sure, that's not the $7.5 billion that we've seen go into ESGU, but it is by far the most popular thematic ESG fund on the market. So why is TAN doing so well? It comes back to three things. So the first reason is a fairly underappreciated one, and that's that TAN is largely a technology ETF. A good two-thirds of its stocks are information technology companies, and we have seen tech, continue to rally, carrying a market higher even when other segments of the economy are faltering or have faltered quite a bit. So, if you peek under TAN's hood, the top three stocks are SolarEdge, Enphase Energy, and GE Solar. Those are all makers of PV array equipment and basically semiconductor equipment. And again, semiconductors are a super high-flying segment this year. So that's one reason. But this isn't just a rising tech tide that's carrying TAN higher, right? There's also a fair amount of optimism about clean energy as an industry right now. Unfortunately, some of that optimism has had to come from various climate disasters that have been causing, thousands of deaths and billions in property damage. It's, we're facing an existential crisis here. But that existential crisis has led us towards taking renewable sources of power seriously. And solar is probably the best established one out there. It's relatively low capex intensive, compared to like a windmill or a hydroelectric plant or whatever. I actually just saw a news story this morning in Bloomberg about how solar panels are cheaper than coal. So cheap that now solar is the favorite power source in many countries worldwide. It's easy to use in commercial and residential settings. It's, easier to slot into an existing fossil fuel infrastructure, with plants and stuff. So it's a really versatile, useful power source. And then this is the final piece of the puzzle here, and this really can't be discounted. TAN has an extremely robust securities lending program through lending out shares of its fund to people who want to short it. TAN routinely brings in like double what it makes in dividends from the underlying stocks. And so that easily offsets the fund's expense ratio, which, normally cuts into any long-term return to investors that they would see. So those three pieces together are why TAN is just going gangbusters.
One of the narratives that I've read here over the past maybe month or so, and you mentioned the performance of TAN going back over the past 12 months, so I don't know how much of this is related, but are this expectations growing for a Biden victory, which I think the thought is that could help the solar industry because one of Biden's plans calls for spending like $2 trillion over the next 4 years on clean energy and infrastructure, which obviously includes things like solar panels. And I think he also has made the promise of zero carbon emissions by 2035, which, again, obviously would mean solar makes up a bigger piece of the energy pie moving forward. How big of a driver do you think that is?
I think in the short term, yeah, sure, it's a driver. But we've seen TAN outperforming fairly consistently, outperforming the rest of ETFs for at least the past 12 months. It has been kind of the stealth outperformer. Nobody really wants to acknowledge that it's been doing so well, but it has been. It's been beating the pants out of everything else. So yes, I guess it is getting some short-term bump from the election. But there is a longer term trend here for sure, carrying this ETF higher.
It's so interesting because this ETF has been around for a long time, right? It launched all the way back in 2008. It used to be under the Guggenheim brand until Invesco acquired them. And I always find ETF stories like this interesting because this thing bounced around under like $500 million in assets for a long time. Even last year, it was below $300 million for a period of time. Now it's having its moment in the sun, I guess, pun intended there. One thing I'm curious about, you know, right now in ETF land, there's no direct ETF competitor to TAN. And I tweeted this out last week. Here you have an ETF with $2 billion in assets. It's charging 71 basis points and no competition. How long do you think that'll last?
Well, so technically there was competition. Several years ago, there was another solar ETF under the ticker KWT, and it closed. So, I mean, it closed in the middle of the downturn in the solar energy industry. There was a time when, you know, oil was so cheap and the incentives were such that like solar just wasn't going anywhere. And I think that's right around when KWT closed. But as far as like future, how the future looks, I actually think that diversified energy plays are probably where we're going to go, because that's, and we have a ton of them on the market now, right? And the reason for that is that, diversified energy, is kind of the way we have to solve this problem, right? You're not going to just see one renewable power source like wind or solar or hydroelectric solve everybody's energy needs. It's going to have to be a very regionalized, individualized energy solution. You can't just swap solar for oil anymore, right? It's just not going to work like that. So that's why I think diversified energy takes like, you know, iClean or QClean or PBW, some of these other big diversified portfolios is really where we'll see most of the growth going forward.
Okay, so that's actually a perfect segue. Let's talk more about that space. You mentioned the ICLN, that's the iShares Global Clean Energy ETF. That's the biggest clean energy ETF out on the market. And we noted earlier, all of these are performing extremely well this year, right? Up 80% plus. I guess I'll just open this up to you because there are so many ETF options here. If you want to talk performance, flows, holdings, whatever you like, do you want to walk through high level this space?
Yeah, I want to kind of focus on the flows aspect because I think there's still this misconception that clean energy is going to, you know, nobody really cares about it, right? And nobody, this is just some niche for tree huggers or whatnot.
I feel like that comment was directed at me.
I'm not calling anybody out here. I'm just speaking in vague terms here. there is a persistent, shoulder shrug who gives about this, right? But there's some real money going into these funds. Most of them are going into iShares funds. And a large part of that is because BlackRock has been using energy, its own ESG ETFs in its own model portfolios, right? So, you know, funneling money that way. But, there's been a fair amount of money coming into iClean, which we mentioned. That's seen the most flows over the past year. It's taken in almost $1 billion, $1 billion. PBW, that's the Invesco Wilder Hill Energy Fund. That's another legacy fund, I think, from PowerShares this time. That's taken in about $360 million over the same period. QClean, that's the First Trust take on clean energy. That's brought over $300 million. So these funds are gaining in popularity, and it's largely those diversified takes that are gaining in popularity. And I think QClean really stands out to me. because it's kind of knocked its competitors out of the water performance-wise. Over the past 5 years, it's a long-term fund, it's a fund with a long track record. Over the past 5 years, it's risen 28%. That's more than double what SPY has done. And that's interesting to me because QClean is... It focuses more heavily on U.S. stocks than other ETFs out there. And as we know, for the last 5 years, really just the last maybe 3.5 years, it hasn't really been a great time to be in clean energy in the U.S. So I just, that's an anomaly that I think I'd want to dig into deeper and I think is really interesting.
Well, and on that note, you talk about the performance versus SPY. The performance across this entire clean energy ETF space is in stark contrast to the traditional energy sector. So if you look at something right. like the Energy Select Sector Spider ETF, XLE, that's down over 45% this year, which is pretty remarkable. Yeah. I think it was the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, they noted that NextEra, who they provide solar, wind, and other sources of renewable energy, they recently passed Exxon as the largest energy company by market cap.
Did anybody think we were going to be there 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Did anybody think that Exxon was going to be the second largest oil company in the world after Chevron now, right? Like, it was unfathomable. Things are changing very quickly in this space.
Well, and Exxon used to be the largest company, period, in the S&P 500 back in around 2010. Laura, I mentioned the presidential race a little bit earlier with Biden and what may happen if he wins. How much election risk do you think is embedded across this entire space? We've had this huge run up and, you know, putting politics aside, I always try to stay neutral on this podcast. But if President Trump ends up being reelected, do you see that as a big risk to the space? Or is this sort of along the lines of your previous answer in that maybe this is just kind of short term noise, doesn't impact the longer term trajectory?
Right. If Trump gets elected or reelected, or more realistically, if he just like flat out refuses to leave or he sabotages things on the way out or who knows, I think we're going to have other bigger things to worry about. But the truth is Trump and his administration have been trying to sabotage the clean energy industry for years. They have done literally everything they can think of at this point. They've rolled back environmental protections. They've opened up wildlife refuges to drilling. They've given massive incentives to various fossil fuel industries and so on. They've even made it harder to mount ESG-related shareholder campaigns. They've made it harder to hold ESG investments in retirement portfolios. They've come at it from so many different angles. And yet... look at where clean energy is today. It's still doing gangbusters. So, yes, there's an election risk, but just imagine what you'd see in this sector if you had a government that was genuinely supportive of the clean industry, the clean energy industry, an industry that operates within U.S. borders, employs U.S. workers, builds the next generation of the U.S. economy. And like, I'm not talking necessarily about a Green New Deal or whatever, but just a government that's not trying to shoot itself in the foot when it comes to mass extinction. Imagine that, you know?
So you think that if Biden is reelected, then that could be more of a tailwind for this entire... I'm sorry, if Biden is elected, it could be more of a tailwind for the space.
I absolutely think so. But I think that regardless of whether Biden wins or not, these things, these balls are in motion now, right? Like, there's only so long you can hold back the tide here.
Okay, just 2 minutes left. You and I have obviously discussed ESG many times in the past, but I am curious from a portfolio perspective, how do you view clean energy thematic ETFs versus, let's say, broad-based ESG ETFs? So are these complements, or I guess I can make the case that thematic ETFs are more convicted plays since they're targeted, and so perhaps they're a better way to be a quote-unquote good ESG investor. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's the same as any other broad-based vanilla ETF versus a thematic play, whether it's, cybersecurity or 5G or whatever. Like, they complement each other, but you're not going to spend all of your money in a 5G ETF, right? When you choose a broad-based ESG ETF as opposed to just a thematic clean energy play, you are saying that the social and governance aspect of these companies matters as much to you as the environmental aspect. So, you know, if that's true, then you're going to possibly end up with Exxon in your portfolio, right? Because they rank very highly on social and governance rankings. Yeah, their environmental record stinks, but hey, at least their board's independent, right? So, you know, if you don't like that, which I think many investors who care about the environment don't want their money going to, you know, Exxon or whatever, do your homework. Find ESG ETFs that are devoid of fossil fuel exposure so you can express that value better. And you know, you mentioned ChangeX is going to be on the program later. They are one of the only ones out there that's doing completely fossil fuel free ETFs in a very rigorous way. So I guess the last thing I want to say is that you have to be careful that you understand what you're attempting to do, what your objective is, right? What do you mean, for example, by fossil fuel exposure? Like, do you just want to kick out Exxon? Are you thinking you want to avoid companies that have lots of oil reserves or utilities that use fossil fuel fired plants? Are those okay? You know, all of these things can be and have been considered a, you know, quote unquote fossil fuel company by ETF makers. So just understand how willing you are to cut out these companies, and understand that the more you cut out, the more it's going to change your risk return profile. Now, in the case of clean energy and ESG, it hasn't been a bad thing to cut out traditional energy because it's actually provided a modest performance boost to your portfolio. But if that's something you need to consider, you have to understand that.
Well, Laura, we're going to have to leave it there. Great stuff this week. Somehow we avoided a massive debate, which I blame myself. I haven't had enough coffee today, apparently.
There's always next time.
That's right. Really appreciate it. Thank you for joining me.
Of course, always.
That was ETF.com's Laura Krieger.